Mickey Bacon, now you are 13 years old. You are a teenager and you're as good as gold. Ricky Baker, oh. Ricky Baker, happy birthday. Once rejected, now accepted by me and Hector, we're a trifecta. Ricky Baker, Ricky Baker, Ricky Baker, Ricky Baker, Ricky Baker, Ricky Baker, Ricky Baker.
Hello, and welcome to Book Versus Movie. This is a podcast where we read books that have been adapted into movies, and then we try to decide which we like better, the book or the movie. I am Margot P. of ColoniaBook.com, and this is my good friend and co-host, Margot D. of Brooklyn Fit Chick.
Hi, everyone.
Is it just me, or does it feel like January is about 3 years long this year? It's long.
It always feels long.
January is just like a slap in the face. It's just unfair. But we've had some really great episodes already this month. This is going to be another one I kind of am anticipating. I'm very excited to talk about this book and movie. But before we get to that, if you are new, this is a podcast. We read books, then we watch the movies. But since we've been in this pandemic era that we find ourselves in, we have been doing a brand new episode every single week. And so we might not be reading Les Miserables.
War and Peace.
Or War and Peace. Or The Godfather again for a while.
Yeah.
But, sometimes we're doing a play. Sometimes we're doing a magazine article. But we've been doing a lot of novellas and short stories. All of this is to say we're always looking for suggestions for movies and books or literature of any kind that we can cover. And if you would like to give us those suggestions, or if you just want to interact with us or other listeners of this podcast, there are several places where you could do that on the internet.
Yes, we do have a basic Facebook page. Be sure to like it because all the episodes are posted there. But if you want to interact with us, the best thing to do is to join the Facebook group. It is a private group. We really do just talk about books and movies there. We talk about current episodes, stuff we plan to do in the future. And just to give you guys the 411, we look for things that are pretty easy to get either in paperback form or it's on the Libby app or it's online or it's on Kindle. And the movie has to be streaming someplace. It cannot be like a DVD that we have to buy. That's just not going to work. We try to make it open to everybody so they can immediately after they listen to the episode, they can get out that book and movie if they would choose. Anyway, we are on Twitter and Instagram at Book Versus and Movie. Spell that out. Or you can send us an email. The email is bookversusmoviepodcast@gmail.com. You can send suggestions there. Also, if you would like some stickers, we also have magnets, coasters. We have some merch. If you're interested, please let us know. We'll drop them in the mail for you.
And if you really enjoy the show and you want to help keep us in books and movies, you can support us on Patreon.
Yes, it's very helpful when you guys do that. We totally, totally appreciate it. We have a Patreon page, Patreon. Some of the content there is free, but most of it now is behind the paywall. We're putting everything there from 2019. And then previous to that, we've been doing the show for a few years now. We just put up Forrest Gump there. That's a pretty popular episode. And we have a couple of very affordable options. It just helps us for the hosting costs and buying the books and the movies. We're not getting rich from this. It seriously just helps us keep the show going. If you're interested, please just go to Patreon, look up Book Versus Movie Podcast. Or, if money's tight, we totally understand that. Just leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts, or tell a friend about the show, or ask for a sticker and put it on your laptop and go to the coffee shop and let everybody see it.
I haven't seen one in the wild yet. I would love to see that sometime. But of course, who's going to coffee shops? I've got one down the street. I've been like twice in the last year and a half. And it's owned by a family member.
Oh, wow.
She's doing okay though. Other people are going, but yeah, it's so funny. But anyway, I actually got the audiobook of this on the Libby app. So from my San Diego County Library, you can get audiobooks and the other kind of books and ebooks on the Libby app. Just a little plug there for your library. Let's not forget to use our local libraries. Even if your doors are closed, you can probably still get stuff from them. Did you read it or did you listen to it?
I read it. I got a sample on Kindle, and then I liked it so much I bought it. It's like $4.99 on Kindle. It's a book of short stories from him. So this is one of the short stories. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the audiobook that I listened to, and we're going to talk about our author, Barry Crump, and our book, Wild Pork and Watercress, which became Hunt for the Wilder People. Right? Isn't that the name of the movie?
Hunt for the Wilder People.
The audiobook I got on Libby is narrated by Barry Crump's son, Martin Crump.
Okay.
Who is a pretty well-known like TV radio personality in New Zealand. Looks a lot like his father, sounds a great deal like his father. So it's an outstanding performance of this book. I highly, highly recommend it. It was delightful. I was laughing. I was crying. It's terrific. So let's talk about Mr. Crump.
Well,
very interesting fellow.
I want to apologize ahead of time for everybody in New Zealand with our American accents and my American pronunciation of things. We're trying to be as legit as possible. Barry Crump was a big, big star in New Zealand. He was an outdoorsman. He was a writer. He was a TV pitchman for Toyota Trucks. He was kind of a legend in New Zealand. When he died in 1996, and he was only 61 when he passed away, he started writing in the early 60s. He was like on the top of the news everywhere. He was a big deal.
He was sort of like a Mark Twain sort of a figure.
Right.
Just, you know, these mythic stories, but he's also a very, very well-known, famous just for being who he is. Just really kind of quirky, offbeat, might be dangerous. Kind of a guy.
Yeah, he was married several times. He had five kids. He had several kids. There was one mark against him. In 1969, there was a drowning accident at a camp that he helped to run. But other than that, he's known for comic novels. He's known for living in the bush, being able to hunt and take care of himself. You know, this is years before we had Crocodile Dundee. He was the real thing. And I wonder...
Oh, way before.
Right. I mean, I wonder if that was...
You got it.
Right.
Has to be, right?
It has to be.
The Hollywood version of Barry Crump. Although, again, we're talking about New Zealand...
Yes, not Australia. We're very careful about that.
I know some of our listeners are like getting really mad. Like, do your Americans think everybody's from Australia?
We
understand that. No, we know it's New Zealand. I saw a really great interview with Martin Crump, mainly because I was trying to see what he looks like. He looks a lot like his dad. So there are six sons. He had Barry Crump had six sons with, was it four wives?
Four or five wives. And
Martin Crump said, you know, he was not a traditional father in any sense of the word. He said that he didn't meet his father until he was nine, I think was the first time. And his mother said, you know, it was his birthday. And mom said, oh, you know, your father's on the phone and to wish you happy birthday. And he said, oh, great. You know, my dad. And Barry on the other line was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to come see you. You know, it's your birthday. I'm going to bring you a gift. I'm going to come see you tomorrow. I'll be there early tomorrow. And he says that Barry showed up at 11 p.m. and gave Martin two cheeseburgers and a hammer. And then, in his words, pissed off for another 5 years.
Oh, God.
So then he didn't see him for another 5 years. But then after that, like, so then from the time he was 14 on, he kind of had this like, yeah, I guess this is kind of the dad I have, you know? And so they actually did have a really kind of a nice relationship. And the family manages the estate. You know, he was such a famous writer and so well known. And,
right.
And these stories are, I gather, such an integral part of the culture. And I can see why. I mean, this book is just outstanding. So yeah, when Barry Crump died, and he was how old? He looks
61.
A lot older. I'm sorry to say. He looks a lot older than 61.
No.
It's some hard living.
Yeah.
he was in the middle of being this, Toyota campaign spokesman in this very famous series of Toyota ads, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. So he was, you know, it was a big, big deal when he died. But the stories are still obviously living on in the culture in one form or another.
Yeah, he did these commercials with a man named Lloyd Scott, Scotty. And if you see these commercials, and they're all over YouTube, and I guess commercials used to be longer, but they're like a minute and a minute and a half.
They're so long. They're like little movies.
They are. And they're just riding through the outback. And these trucks could take a brutal beating, I'm supposing. I'm sure they sold a lot of trucks at this time. But his writing is really funny and sharp and crisp. And it's something he worked on with his travels. And he just tells tales so well. He's like that person in your family that drinks a bit too much, stays a little too long at the party, but he always, you know, he charms everyone with his tall tales. And that's what Barry Crump is. And so this whole story, it's a novella, and it's Wild Pork and Watercress. It comes out in 1986, and he's had a few titles before. He's like one of the top selling authors from New Zealand. But New Zealand has like 4 or 5 million people. I think it's 4.9. But to sell a million books to four.
Yeah, that's like in every home. That means it's in every home.
Exactly.
Basically.
Right. I mean, so that's a huge deal. And this is a story about a boy who's part Maori and part Caucasian. And he's growing up in New Zealand, and he's basically being abandoned by his mother and his family.
Yeah. It's a little different in the book than in the movie. I can't remember if his parents are actually dead. I think his parents are dead in the book. And that the woman that he goes to live with is his real aunt, right?
She's real family.
Yeah.
And she lives with a man named Hector, married. It's Hector and his spouse, and they're taking him in. He immediately responds to his aunt. They become very close. He starts to feel at home. And Heck is just kind of tough, you know, chews tobacco and spits.
He's a gruff grizzly. Yeah. He's not mean. He's just prickly.
They don't have kids. Like, he's going to be the only kid. They have a lot of animals and they live off the land, and he immediately takes a shine to her. And then she dies very spoiled. By the way, we should say we spoil the details. I mean,
oh yeah, sorry.
There's a couple of big spoilers we're going to give. So if you want,
there's a lot of spoilers.
I would definitely, it's on Amazon. You can rent it right now. You could see it, but we'll talk about the movie, which is fantastic, in a second. But this story about this young boy, and then Hector reluctantly takes him away because this kid doesn't want to wind up back in the system. He knows he's going to be ignored.
Yeah.
He's like 13.
So no, he's a little older in the book.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. He's like 13. So it's a little bit different in the book, again, than in the movie. This is his actual, like, his Auntie Bella is his real family. So she also is part Maori. In the book, I guess there's at least at that time in the 80s, age, like, we have 18 years of age here, you're considered an adult, but there it's 15. So Hector is, you know, he's completely destroyed over the death of his wife, and he's just gonna go die in the bush somewhere and home, and how about if I just come with you until I turn 15, and then you don't have to worry about me anymore. I won't, you know, they won't put me in like a juvenile home. Uncle, this was one of my, this scene made me laugh out loud, because the uncle's like, No, you're not coming with me. You're not coming with me. And they fight for all into the night and into the next day. They like fall asleep fighting. It's so cute. But they ultimately decide to go off together. And there's also this thing that the notice, like, they get the notice that they're going to come collect the boy.
Right.
But because they live so far, they're so remote, they could make the case, like, if they had to, that, oh, we never saw the notice. We went off on our little camping jaunt before. So we didn't know that you were coming to get him. So they have some little, like, safeguards in place. They're not like immediately fugitives from the law. That takes a little while.
But they do travel into the woods. And we should say that Ricky Baker.
Yeah, Ricky Baker.
Ricky is kind of a chubby kid. He's not really used to living out in the wild, and Hector has to teach him how to hunt, how to eat the food that they get and cook it, living off the land. And it's
rough.
And it's rough. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Oh, I just wanted to mention there was the thing about the book, and this they never mentioned it in the movie, but although you kind of, they didn't have to, because it's like one of those things, you're seeing it, so they don't have to, like, most of the book is told from Ricky's point of view. And so one of the things that makes him feel like he can finally, like, live in his aunt's house with Bella and Heck is that they tease him constantly about being fat. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're like, oh, you're so fat, da 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 da. And he said, you know, I'm used to people teasing me because I'm fat, but what I noticed is they never tease me because I'm brown.
Right.
They never tease me because I'm not white. And whereas every place else I've been, I get teased about that, and it's much worse. I'd much rather have somebody joke about me being fat than bring up the fact that I'm brown as if it's a bad thing. And so I think that was a really interesting thing, because Heck is like, as we said, he's established as like this really gruff, grizzly guy, and he does make remarks about him being fat, but he never once, and he's white, he never once ever says anything about other than that, about Ricky's ethnicity or background or anything like that.
He's respectful of the people, of the Aboriginal people that live there. That's who taught him his tricks. So that's why
he is.
So Ricky, along on this journey, they're being chased and they're finding their way. And then Ricky starts to lose weight and he grows. He has like a growth spurt and he loses weight. And he's like, oh, you can't tease me now because I'm skinny. And he jokes about that. And it's just them becoming closer. And I forget how it ends. Does it end like it does in the movie? I mean, the movie's pretty over the top, but.
No. So the book is taking place in Ricky's life at a point where boys have their growth spurt. You know, there are a lot of like biological changes going on. They're going through the bush. They have friends that they make along the way. They save the life of a ranger. And so there's this long like narrative about they're on the lam from the law, and the public, the public is following this story very intently. And sometimes the public is with them and sometimes the public is not with them. And they don't like, what is the deal with these two? As they're wandering around in the wilderness, they're on the run and they encounter a bird that was thought to be extinct. And Ricky throughout the book, and this isn't in the movie at all, Ricky throughout the book has an interest. He wants to learn how to do photography. And when they find this bird, he's like, oh, but if I had a camera, you know, I could take a picture of this bird and then we'd be famous and we'd be rich and we wouldn't have to worry about anything. They have a friend who helps them out. As they're wandering the wilderness, they're trapping animals and they're getting their pelts. And the friend is selling the pelts for them so that they have money. So eventually he does buy a camera. They get to the point, he is almost 15. You know, he's like within a few months of turning 15, where they don't have to worry about anything anymore. And they decide, okay, we're going to turn ourselves in. If they put you in a home, it's only going to be for a few months until you turn 15. And if they put me in jail, it's only going to be for a few months. And then we can just hang for the rest of our lives and hang out for the rest of our lives. And I think they go back to the friend who's helping them. The friend is hooking them up with a lawyer and everything. And they go out in the bush like one more time, presumably to take a photo of this extinct bird, and they never come back.
That's right. Okay. That's right.
And then there's like never, ever, never, ever, ever, ever. And they left all their stuff behind. Like they weren't running away. It's different this time. It's like they definitely intended to come back. And this friend is going through their stuff. Like after so much time, he's like trying to find clues. Like where could they possibly be? And he finds this journal that Ricky, the boy, had been keeping the whole time. So all that we've been reading has been what's in this journal. But because of Ricky's disordered, you know, living situation for his early childhood, and then like being in the bush for so long, he's essentially illiterate. So his writing is very difficult to decipher and very difficult to understand. So it takes the friend whose name is, want to say Robert, takes him a long time to decipher, you know, the whole story. And so then so the epilogue is by this friend, Robert, I think that's his name, mm-hmm. or Ronald. It's an R name. Anyway. And he posits that, you know, based on the writings, because in the writings, Ricky says where the bird is and that they want to go see it and they want to go try to take a picture of it. And he knows that where they were going was super, super, super dangerous. Even if you are the most experienced bush person out there, even if you know how to climb rocks, even if you know how to kill animals, you are really risking your life trying to go to this place where they're saying these birds are. And so he believes that they, you know, fell into a ravine, yeah. you know, in this remote place where nobody found them. So that is how the book ends.
Right.
They are not alive. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so sad. And I was crying my eyes out in the car.
That's exactly what it is. So yeah, it is very sad. And it's kind of like, you know, a part of you is like, well, maybe they made it, but no, they didn't. That's not possible.
Yeah, they didn't.
No. And that's, no.
It's like years later when he's writing the epilogue, it's way too long for them to be okay.
And there are several stories in this book, but they're all kind of like, they have that kind of theme to them. And so we have our director today, who is Taika Waititi, he was born Taika David Cohen. He is from New Zealand, and he's a comic and a director. I don't know if you've ever seen What We Do in the Shadows, which is, do you watch?
So funny.
The funniest.
It's so funny.
It's a funny movie, and it was set in New Zealand, and now it's a TV series, and they set it in Staten Island because that's the island they could get to today.
It's so awesome.
It's amazing. And then he's also, I think, a part of Wellington Paranormal, which is this other show that I super, super love. He directed Thor Ragnarok, which is, as dumb as those Marvel movies are, it's really funny and fun. He Jojo Rabbit, which is a movie that people request all the time, which we'll probably get to at some point. Anyway, this is his story he wants to tell. He writes and directs this film, has a lot of people that he normally works with, and it has that fun, jovial tone. And I guess we should play the trailer right now.
Ricky Baker.
He is a baddie, a youth court regular.
We're hoping that this change of scene will help straighten him out.
You hungry? That's a silly question, isn't it? Look at you.
Ricky Baker, now you are 13 years old. You are a teenager and you're as good as gold.
Ricky, this is Heck. You can call him uncle if you like.
No, I can't.
Bella told me to tell you that you should give me something to do. Is there anything you want me to do?
Yeah. Leave me alone.
Cool. You ever been up in that jungle before?
There's about a million hectares of it, buddy. It's easy to get lost.
You lost? I'm amazed how lost you got.
You little bugger!
We got no choice but to camp out here for a few weeks.
Where are you, Ricky Baker?
More on this massive national manhunt.
Faulkner is Caucasian. Well, they got that wrong because you're obviously white.
You're going to jail, you pervert.
What you call me?
The pervert.
Back up, homies, and let go of my uncle. So what do we do now?
We run. No, we don't need to run.
Huh? Oh, yeah, this is fast walk.
Gonna be rough. No huts, no tents, real bush life. And if you play up, I dump you.
Okay, Uncle.
I'd still prefer if you don't call me Uncle.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
What's the fastest way out of here?
Jetpack!
Do you actually have a jetpack?
No? What?
We're offering $10,000 to anyone who can capture them, dead or alive.
Oh. Alive. They should be alive.
Crumpy!
She's a bit bumpy around here.
Love you, Ricky.
Ricky!
Ricky! Isn't that Alex who did this? Tell them it was the water people.
The water people?
Stop running.
Yeah, and I'll never stop chasing you. I'm relentless. I'm like the Terminator.
I'm more like like Terminator than you.
I said at first you're more like Sarah Connor in the first movie too, before she could do chin-ups.
This movie was filmed in 2015, comes out in 2016, and it stars Sam Neill as Heck, who's just amazing.
He's always great. I love Sam Neill so much. I would just watch him do anything.
Yeah.
Even those, like, he had those commercials that he did a while. Anyway, he's great. I just want to say, I saw the trailer for this film, and I was like, okay, I'm just buying it.
Yeah.
So I just bought it.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
it's really good.
I need to own this movie.
Yeah. It stars Julian Dennison. He plays our Ricky Baker. Rhys Darby is in here. Rima Tewiata. Rachel House. She is the person from Children's Protection that's going to get Ricky back. Ricky, it takes place. It's so,
so great.
It's so freaking funny. So Ricky, it takes place in today's times. And Ricky winds up at the house, and he has Bella and Faulkner. I love the last name, that his last name is Faulkner. I don't know why. It's because, and they're from the South in New Zealand. And anyway, but that Ricky is living with this family, and he, you know, he's a chubby little kid, kind of awkward. And his Uncle Hector doesn't really, you know, doesn't take to him very quickly, but Bella does right away. They have like this friendship right away.
In the movie, they're not related. In the movie, he's this problem child that's been in and out of the, you know, the foster system. And this remote shack in the middle of nowhere is the absolute last home that is ever going to offer him a place to stay. So he's not related to him, but immediately, like, Bella, you know, comes running out of the house and is just hugging him to pieces and, you know, call me Auntie Bella and that's your uncle. And Heck's like, you know, it's so great.
And they have a good relationship. They're very close.
It's so sweet.
It's all so sweet. And so Ricky, he and Heck have their things that they like to do together. He teaches them how to do. And Bella gives him a lot of love. And on his 13th birthday, she sings him his song, Ricky Baker, charming.
The most adorable thing.
Sweetest thing ever. He gets a dog and he names him Tupac for Tupac Shakur. Suddenly, Bella dies. And it's just heartbreaking. You just don't expect it. And the Child Protective Services are going to take him away because Hector isn't deemed responsible enough to take care of him. Because I guess Hector didn't really want him in the first place.
Yeah, and they're not related.
Right.
Unlike in the book, like there's Hector. I mean, they're not blood related in the book, but they are, you know, he is his uncle by marriage, at least. But in the movie, yeah, they're not related at all. He hadn't been living with them for that long. So, yeah, in the eyes of the law and our rabid child protective agent, of course, we're going to come snatch him out of there.
And so they're informed ahead of time that this is going to happen. So Ricky and Heck and Tupac go into the woods, into the bush. And immediately, I don't know, this was very triggering for me, but immediately Heck falls and hurts his foot. Ouch.
I know. Poor Margot has had like such the foot issues.
I have had ankle issues and foot issues, you guys. Like, I can't even tell you. But so Ricky has to help carry him around the bush.
Yeah.
And help take care of him.
That happens in the book, but it's farther in. In the book, they've been in the bush for a little while when the uncle breaks his ankle. But I liked that the choice in the movie to have it be right away. This, like the second they go into the bush, he's down. It's very funny. I mean, the whole thing, the humor that's throughout the whole thing is so, it's interesting. It's its own thing, but it's also very reminiscent of the humor in the book, although it is definitely like an evolution of that, I would say. It's very funny.
It's quirky and odd and would be off-putting, but you kind of accept it. Like, Ricky burns down the house before they go because he wants them to assume that he died in the fire. And they find, so the people that are following them, I think it's Andy and Paula, they're like following them, you know, the Child Protective Services. And then this is weird, but the boys are, what happens is that they find these two hunters, these two men in the woods, in the wild, kind of, they find each other. And Ricky starts talking to them about, oh, he and Heck, yeah. Oh, we're just in the woods. We're just hanging out together. And the way he talks, one could assume he's talking about that Hector is molesting him, but which is not happening at all. But they...
No, not in the least.
Not in the least, but especially... And it's funny because in these times of people assuming child molesters are everywhere, so these people immediately, they spread that rumor out. So then Hector and Ricky are terrified of being caught because they're terrified what's going to happen to him. And he's... So they take off. They get found and then they take off. I love this. When Ricky meets the girl, he meets a girl on the road and she has
not in the book at all, but I love that whole sequence.
Yeah.
Told you, Bruce, up the carrots and hunt. It's probably already dead by now. Do you want some ice cream? How should I know? Do your job, fly up there and take a look. I already told you that, but you're not listening. Oh, yes, I do. I can. Want a sausage? Yeah, you do that. Yeah, I'll tell him. Laters. They're gonna head up there first thing in the morning. Better go then. Gotta get there before they do so I can warn Uncle. Relax, bro. I know who you are. Seen your picture in the paper. Except you're skinnier in real life. Who's your parents? Dead. Nah, jokes. My dad, he's watching the league with my uncle, and my mum, she's working at the lodge. Do you want to smoke a joint? Nah, I'm just being a dick. I don't smoke. Talking him so yeah, people say I talk too much. You don't talk much, eh? I can talk for ages. If you want me to talk for ages, or if you don't want me to talk, just tell me if you don't want me to talk. Well, this one time I was at school and I was talking too much, and the teacher walks in and the dad didn't smack me. She goes, I'm listening to her because she's my auntie. But then I just keep talking.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah, they're very cute. And she has she kind of flirts with him and he's famous now. Like he's in the papers, but, you know, they can't really enjoy it. They got to stay on the run and they're trying to stay ahead of people. Her name is Kahu. They're escaping from these people. Heck is seen as a sex offender and then Ricky is his victim. And that's not what's happening at all. And then they meet a guy named Psycho Sam who's in the... Oh my God, Rhys Darby,
Murray from Flight of the Conchords, my favorite Flight of the Conchords character. I love him in anything and everything he's ever in. He makes the most brilliant choices. He's so funny. I could just watch him all day. He's hilarious. When he jumps up and he's like, you think it's a bush and it's him. Oh.
And he believes in like conspiracy theories and they have to wear like the metal strainer on their heads. I mean, he's a kook and he's kind of like just taking them in to help them out.
The chase is escalating and escalating. So there's a lot of the same stuff that's in the book. The finding of the hunters finding them, that happens in the book. As they're traveling through the bush, I guess out in the wild in New Zealand, there are these little huts that the government has set up, you know, just shelters for people who might need them as they're out, you know, just like very basic cabin kind of situations. And so they're kind of hiding out and the hunters come in, and that happens in the book. It also happens in the book. They go into another cabin and there's a man there who is dying. And they don't quite know why, but they know that he's dying and they know that he needs help. And even though it's putting themselves in danger, they get him help and they save his life. And it turns out later that that man was a ranger and knew who they were and everything, but he was dying, you know, so he's not going to I'm going to put you in jail. But anyway, and it's escalating and escalating. And this is happening in the book too, that the, you know, the longer that they're in the bush, the more serious it gets, the more, you know, the charges are racking up and up and up. It's very cinematic. Of course, in the movie, you have New Zealand, which is jaw-droppingly beautiful. It's, you know, he describes it in the book, but that's nothing like seeing it on the screen. And I can't even imagine what it must be like in person. So you have these sweeping vistas and helicopters and all of that. And so, yeah, in the end, they finally get cornered. Get to the point where they're cornered.
And it's this helicopter chase and they're through the bush And it reminds me of those Toyota commercials because it was.
It's supposed to.
Yeah. That's like, and that's if you're
deliberately,
wondering. Yes.
They're deliberately copying those commercials.
It's an homage to Barry and Scotty, all those commercials that they did.
Oh, and Scotty's in the movie.
What does he play?
Okay, so it's really brief. So in that final, like, Toyota commercial chase scene, you know, they're going through the bush. There's a scene where the truck goes airborne, and it goes over a road. And there's a tourist standing on the road, and he's taking a photo. He's, like, taking a selfie, and then this truck, like, goes right over him. That's Scotty.
Oh, that makes sense.
The guy, the tourist. Yeah.
Okay. And at some point they have Bella's ashes with them. They and the dog Zag dies, and they have to euthanize Zag. And
that's so, in the book.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so sad.
It's terribly sad. And during this chase, it's a Ricky shoots Heck by accident. I mean, this gun is going back and forth. So then they're remanded. And so Ricky, for whatever reason, gets to stay in Kahu's family. And
yeah, they have a whole like hearing. I liked that they included that because right. Otherwise she'd be like, well, what's going to happen? You know, in the book, they were getting ready to turn themselves in. They had a lawyer in place who was going to help them. They had, you know, but they never went through that process because they disappeared. Mm-hmm. But in the movie, I like that you get that little bit of closure, like, okay, what's going to happen to these guys now? Oh, well, we have to have a whole big thing and find out what were you doing in the bush? Why were you running? Why were you running if you weren't some kind of a pervert trying to kidnap right. this kid? You know, yada, yada, yada. But the, the girl and her dad, who he had met that helped, that they were the ones that also helped save the ranger. And I think that probably helped too. They're able to take him in, which is great. Because the whole thing about Ricky and the whole reason that, like, when Bella dies and Child Protective Services or whatever they're called there, Child Welfare, sends the letter to Heck that says, we're going to come take the boy. The assumption is that they're doing Heck a favor. They're like, listen, we're sorry you got stuck with this, you know, problem kid. Don't worry about it. We're going to be there. We'll take care of it. You won't have to worry. After Friday, you won't have to worry about him. And not knowing that these two have bonded now and that they are actually a family now, they're just assuming this kid is so rotten. Like, of course you want to get rid of this kid. So nobody else wants him, right?
Right.
So I think the fact that just this family stepped in and were like, yeah, we'll totally take him. So that I think that they would go along with that. So that he's living with Heck. And it's a year that goes by. Heck goes to jail.
Yes. He has to go to jail for a little bit.
Poor guy.
But he does. But when he gets out, Ricky's new family, they let him and Heck. The bird is called Huia.
I think so.
It's an extinct bird, and they get to go out on a trip and take a picture of it. And
yeah,
and it's which got is great so music. Sweet. There's really good
music. The music's
Nina Simone
wonderful.
Is on the track.
Yeah.
Yes. The music's really good.
It's very good.
Taika Waititi, he plays the minister for her.
Oh my gosh, this is so funny. That scene is on par with Marriage.
Yes, exactly.
You know, sometimes in life, it seems like there's no way out. Like a sheep trapped in a maze designed by wolves. And you know that if you're ever in that situation, there are always two doors to choose from. And through the first door, Oh, it's easy to get through that door, and on the other side, waiting for you, all the nummiest treats you can imagine. Fanta, Doritos, LMP, Burger Rings, Coke Zero. But you know what? There's also another door. Not the Burger Ring door, not the Fanta door. Another door that's harder to get through. Guess what's on the other side? Anyone want to take a guess?
Vegetables?
No, not vegetable. No.
Jesus?
You would think Jesus. I thought Jesus the first time I come across that door. It's not Jesus. It's another door. And guess what's on the other side of that door?
Jesus.
Jesus, yeah, Jesus. He's tricky like that, Jesus. So let us pray to Jesus, please, to make it a bit easier to get through those doors and to find you and your bounty of delicious confectionery. Thank you, Selena. Take it away.
Released, and it goes to 2016. It goes to the Sundance Film Festival. It's released a week later in New Zealand, and it's the number one movie ever in New Zealand. And
of course,
once again, it's because everybody in New Zealand went to see it. Like,
it's first of all, it's brilliant.
It is.
Second of all, it's gorgeous. And third, like, it may. Don't you want to go to New Zealand now?
I've been wanting to do that forever. Apparently,
I want to go to there.
After the 2016 election, a lot of Americans tried to move to New Zealand, and they used
that
to be
true.
Like, come on in, you know, yeah. Now, and then they had to cut it down because so many people wanted
to. Yeah, because we ruin everything.
We do. It's so beautiful, though. My brother lived in Australia for years, and he would go on his vacations. He'd go to New Zealand. He's like, I could live here.
Yeah, my mom's been a couple times. She loved it. Yeah.
The people are nice. It's really beautiful. There's so much to do. People are just outside doing stuff all the time. They're healthy. It's pretty spectacular. And Taika Waititi, I'll just pretty much see anything he's directing.
Anything.
I mean, I love his comedy instincts are just bar none. They're great.
Timing throughout the whole thing is that little boy.
Funny.
Oh, he's so funny cute. And the two of them, their chemistry together is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just, what a great pair to put on. What a great pair. I loved the book.
Yes.
Loved the book. Loved that relationship in the book. Loved it even more in the movie.
I think I like the movie more. I mean, I'm glad I know about it. About the book.
I do too.
And I love the backstory. I love all of that. But this movie, I was immediately smitten. Like, this movie made me laugh. It's got a lot of heart
instantly,
to it.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think I loved also, and this, the book did this, in fairness, this is something that the book did. You know, the book decided when he wrote the book, he didn't decide to set it back when he was a child. He set it in the times, you know, in the 80s. And I think the decision to make this a contemporary 21st century story was a brilliant one. Because, you know, when you're reading the 80s version of the book and like how the police are trying to track them down. And you can't help but think like, oh yeah, but if we had the internet and smartphones and everybody had to take a selfie with this kid, you know, what would happen? And I like that the movie explores that, you know, everybody's got a self, like when he goes to see the girl that her dad's like, can I take a selfie with you? Oh my God, it's you. It's the kid. And the helicopters and drones and all that kind of, you know, that's, of course, they would use all of that stuff. And even so, even with all of the technology, that nature wins, you know, that you have to understand how it works in the bush or you're not going to find these people.
Right. Well, you can't get internet access out there. It's not like 5G in the bush. You got to forget it. You got to know how to take care of yourself. I super love Rachel House as the child welfare worker. Just
so brilliant.
She's so funny. And Andy, her coworker. I mean, just, it's so good. It was really,
it's
really
so well
good.
Done. It's so well written and performed and everything. Every single decision is so lovely in this movie. I had to buy it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to buy it too. And I think it's fun for the whole family. I really.
Oh yeah, I can't wait to watch it. I didn't have time to watch it with my kids. I had to watch it on my own. We're totally watching this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I think movie. I give an edge to the movie.
Yeah. Just a slight edge.
Yeah. The book though is outstanding.
And as Margo really said, it is available in audiobook. I think there's
easy
some
to
clips
find
on YouTube you can get to if you just want to hear the story. But
yeah.
I put a clip of the newscast when he passed away. Barry Crump passed away. And I'm just like, he was huge. He was a big celebrity.
Yeah. It's something that everybody knew, you know. And I thought that was interesting about that announcement that they're like, Barry Crump died. Like it's your uncle or something, mm-hmm. you know, like they don't really have to go into a lot of detail about telling you who he is, because they know that you know who he is when they're making that announcement, and how hard that's going to be to hear. I it's very interesting.
And there's just no way that he was not an inspiration for Crocodile Dundee, even though it's two different countries.
Yeah. Some American was like, oh, that Australian guy. As we are wont to do.
That's just how we roll.
Just like there was a time, this doesn't happen so much. It's gotten a lot better, but there was a time in Britain whenever somebody British, a British actor was playing an American, they were oddly from New York. They had this like kind of Goodfellas kind of an accent they were doing.
Or Americans try to do a British accent sometimes, like Kevin Costner as Robin Hood.
I will not even try. No. Oh, Kevin Costner. Oh,
bless his heart.
Oh, he meant well. So what are we doing next?
Well, it's going to be the last one for January. January's going to be over, Margo. We're going to do something pretty romantic. It's based on a stage play. If you didn't know, this is based on a stage play. We both have paperback copies that we got, and sometimes we break our rule just a tad. I was doing some digging. You can find productions of the play called Sabrina Fair. It's romantic. We will be pairing that with the movie Sabrina. And it's the one with Audrey Hepburn.
I was going to say the real one.
The real one. I kind of like the 90s one, too. I do find something kind of...
I haven't looked at it in a very long time. To be fair, I'm not giving it a chance. But no, we're going to be talking about the Humphrey Bogart and Audrey Hepburn one.
Is it William Holden? No, it's... who is the...
I think it is, isn't it? Is it the brother?
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it is William Holden.
But that's going to be our next one. We're very excited about that. We're going to, in February, it's African-American History Month. So we're going to be having Black creators, writers, and directors. In March, we do musicals in March. We already got a couple of those figured out. That's going to be so much fun.
I'm excited for that.
We'll need ideas for spring, for April, for May. You know, we're always looking for ideas. It could be a magazine article, anything that was adapted into a movie. We've kind of opened
anything
that up.
Written.
Yes.
That was not originally written as a movie, and then they turned it into a movie. We are
You'll
happy to talk
it.
About it.
Yeah. We will definitely. So please keep your suggestions coming. We totally appreciate that. Follow us on all the things social media wise. And Margo, where can they find you?
You can find me online at coloniabook.com, and all of my social media callouts are at She's Not Your Mama. And where can they find you?
You could find me at Brooklyn Fitchick, mostly for Twitter and Instagram. My site is brooklynfitchick.com. My TikTok is at Margo Donahue. We will be back soon with a new episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Book vs. Movie podcast. We are a part of the Frolic Podcast Network. You can find more podcasts you will love at frolic.media/podcast. We follow the hashtags LadyPodSquad and PodernFamily. If you want to support the show, you can go to our Patreon page. Go to PATREON and look for Book vs. Movie podcast. We have a basic Facebook page, but we also have a private Facebook group. Go to Facebook and type in Book vs. Movie Podcast Group if you want to join that. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Book vs. Movie. Spell all those words out.
If you'd like to send us an email, it's bookversusmoviepodcast, spelled it all out, at gmail.com. You could follow Margot D. at Brooklyn Fit Chick on social media, and Margot P. at She's Nacho Mama. Thanks so much again for checking out our show, and we'll be back soon with a new episode.